some excitement building in regards to soybean oil, and they kind of became the leader in the trade today. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, at Global Commodity Analytics. So let's talk about the soybean oil and how this kind of set up some success for the beans in today's trade action.
It really did, Susan, and it couldn't have come at a better time because we had just seen some estimates come out on the soybean production potential out of South America. And we had seen fresh information on Chinese soybean imports for the month of March down quite a bit, especially U.S. numbers down quite a bit. We're not finding any help there on the export front. And then you throw on top of that what looks to be maybe the meal market getting a little bit top heavy at this stage of the game. And you had the makings of and the potential of the beans being the short side of spreads coming into today's trade. But what happened overnight and what happened throughout the day was all involving soybean oil. First came the EU transport commissioner coming in and saying we need to rapidly scale up production of sustainable aviation and maritime fuels. We need to accelerate some of the implementation of sustainable transport fuels. We also need to maybe come in and buy more and import more fuel from the United States, whether that's SAF or whether it's conventional, we're not sure yet. But that seemed to really make a difference because we had the crude oil down, we had the wheat and corn flat to lower, but all of a sudden the soybean oil and the canola started to go up a percent and a half. Come to the close on Tuesday's trade, and May soybean oil is going to register about a 3.8% gain, and that was helped by the fact that Indonesia has announced now that they are going ahead and they are moving to 50% B50, 50% diesel, 50% crude palm oil. That the market knew that was going to happen, but they pushed it to July 1st for a start date. And they also said that we're going to stop importing diesel fuel. And I think that was the big news that really made us realize in the trade this soybean oil is still very much connected to the Middle Eastern conflict and what's happening in the crude oil. So when the U.S.-Iran peace talks did not get off the ground and the White House confirmed that Vice President Vance was not heading anywhere at this point, crude oil made new weekly highs. That only injected more upside into the bean oil. Short and sweet is that we are now only inches away from the July 2023 high in lead month bean oil of 72.81. So that's a big number to watch as we close out the week.
Now, looking at the fact that there's been so many headlines that have been ramping around all of this, too, is will the talks take place? Will they not take place? How do you see that kind of setting the course for the rest of the week?
We've talked a lot about the 1980s and how, in my view, we're going back to the 1980s and back to the future and having to redress the foreign policy mistakes that we made in the Middle East in the 1980s. And the first and foremost one of that is who is in control of Iran. And this week we saw once again, it was the theocratic religious leaders in Iran that still had the majority of the power. And they are, in Western eyes, very extremist people. And they go for broke. They do not bend. They do not negotiate typically. And so we are still stuck in that type of rut, Susan, unfortunately. My take is that this is about the U.S. and China. And what I'm preparing clients for is let's utilize the soybean oil rally, see what beans can do, see if we're cold and wet the rest of April that slows down the Iowa corn and bean planting even more than what we saw on the crop conditions report yesterday. But let's get ready for a sell-off in May, mainly because the fact that the worse it gets between the U.S. and Iran, I think it damages the prospects for the U.S. and China to really come to an agreement and have a summit in mid-May that helps the ag sector here in the United States. And I say that because I think Venezuela and Iran are part of a bigger picture of foreign policy by the Trump administration to economically forestall China's growth and China's power.
You know, geopolitics set aside, weather is the other thing that we closely are keeping an eye on. Who's getting rain? Who's not? Wheat concerns with this crop taking another big drop in yesterday's report.
Yes, and this is getting to a point where it's desperate. And I think the market is starting to finally wake up after, you know, scratching around and trying to go lower the first part of 2026, and then having to be caught up in the energy rally, the wheat market found some ground, but we still didn't really have the upside potential in the market, the supply fear in the market that we're starting to finally get. And that very poor and poor condition, Susan, of 33%, that compares to 21% a year ago. It really, I think, is indicative of how we are literally losing the wheat crop. And so I would say that in this, the stakes for the wheat and the rainfall potential the next 10 days that the trade is watching like a hawk, to me, that's kind of like the 2012 corn market in the wheat market. If we don't get those rains, I think we could really lose quite a bit of the winter wheat crop here in the States. And I think that's where the upside potential could be, where the wheat takes over as the leader to the upside again as we head to the May WASDE report. And so we put together the acreage, the new acreage base, and we put together whatever yield USDA may give us too.
Over to the livestock side, cattle market did not expect this drop this morning, literally on what we saw in the futures, but the fact that we're 60 miles from the U.S. border in another case of New World Screwer.
Yes, and this is where the funds versus the fundamentals is the cattle market, and they're putting on a clinic right now because you have a CME feeder cattle index last posted at about 375. That compares to a 366 April, 358-ish May futures price. You got a significant discount in the feeder futures now compared to the CME cash index. Live cattle, very similar. You've got a negotiated cash price at 248 just traded on Monday afternoon. That's right with the April, but it's $5 over the June. Again, a very big discount in the June, and you go out to the August contracts, you're talking about even a bigger discount in the futures market, theoretically when the supplies are tightening more. And so it's really about what the funds want to do and the technicals in this market. I pulled hedges on recommendations this morning for Q3 because the retail sales was so good, the negotiated cash price, the pork cutout, the marketings from the cattle on feed report, just about every metric that I look at was supportive for the cash to continue to be strong. We'll see if the funds turn their heads towards the cash again.
And not to mention, everybody's watching, as you talked and alluded at the beginning of our conversation, what's been happening with oil, with fuel prices, et cetera. That's going to weigh in not only on beef, but on pork as folks watch their summer budgets.
It is. And this is where the summer grilling season and the summer driving season are going to be really, really tough to navigate. And that's why I had the Q3 hedges in place before the cattle on feed report last week. And that's a really key point to make and to keep making, Susan. So I appreciate you bringing it up because we really do. If we go up to 140 in the crude oil markets again, in the cash market over in the North Sea of England, that's going to really dent our consumption potential. It's probably going to make the hogs look even better, but it's probably going to really create some headwinds in the cattle market. So I'm very eager to get hedges back in place, hopefully on some kind of a short covering rally. Hopefully Wall Street will be looked at by the funds as well as the cash.
We cannot forget to talk about, as we wrap up our conversation, USMCA, because there were some preliminary meetings that happened between the U.S. and Mexico just this week ahead of what's going to be a big review process coming up.
It is. And this is the other angle of the screwworm story that you mentioned about the screwworm moving 30 miles closer to our border than it had been. This is where I think the funds have really put their stakes in the ground and said, okay, if we could do USMCA, we're going to have to open our border. And I've been on record with the clients and said, look, by July 4th, we have to assume that the border is going to open. It may not, and I don't know if it is or not, but we need to prepare for that so that if we have profitable prices, we don't let those slip away on some announcement. And maybe the market will come back, but I really don't want to take that chance given the consumption and the demand and the energy prices that we were just talking about. But that's a huge piece of the puzzle, and we may find out even more about USMCA as they negotiate right here, right now, by the end of this week. So be on the lookout for that.
That's going to be another headline chaser for us to keep an eye out for.
You got it.
All right, Mike Zuzulo joining us today. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday Market Wrap-Up right here on the American Ag Network.